Amen. Well, hey, how many guys have heard this phrase there? You let the cat out of the bag on that one. Usually we use that when we speak of somebody that lets something out prematurely or accidentally, like, oops, I guess I shouldn't have said that. Well, believe it or not, I don't know if you noticed it or saw it or not, but Woody Harrelson let the cat out of the bag on what the motive really was with the COVID pandemic. Watch this.
The last time I did SNL was around Thanksgiving 2019, 3 years ago, and you will not believe what happened after the show. The next day was a Sunday, as it always is the day after I do Saturday Night Live. It's like a pattern I noticed. Anyway, I went walking in the greatest part of this city, Central Park, leaned against a tree, and started to read the craziest script. The movie goes like this. The biggest drug cartels in the world get together and buy up all the media and all the politicians and force all the people in the world to stay locked in their homes, and people can only come out if they take the cartel's drugs and keep taking them over and over. I threw the script away. I mean, who is going to believe that crazy idea, being forced to do drugs?
Oops. Let the cat out of the bag, didn't you? Because that's exactly what it was all about, folks. They'll tell it to you even in your face and laugh while they do it. And it wasn't just duping people to take a drug from Big Pharma, but it's those drugs are killing a massive amount of people. And the people that are catching on to it are, rightly so, irate over it. Like this lady. Watch this.
Anybody heard about how my father was murdered with remdesivir? Has anybody heard about how the hospital called me and blamed me and my mom because we weren't vaccinated and that was the reason he died? Anybody heard about how they put my dad on palliative care and they never fed him and they starved him to death? And they only gave him one can of Ensure in 9 days? Anybody hear about that? Anybody hear about how they put my dad in bilateral restraints, restrained him against his will, and pumped him full of remdesivir against his and his family wishes? While they called me and blamed me and told me he was dying because I wouldn't take the vaccine? Has anyone heard this story? Anyone? You heard the story yet? You heard about how my dad was murdered in a worse way than people on death row? They murdered my father. They injected him with poison. They lied to me. They blamed me. You want me to act normal? Sit here and make videos like everything's okay?
These people are going to stand before God. And not just that it happened, it's still happening. And if you ever wondered how you would react in Hitler's Germany in the 30s and 40s when he was doing the last Holocaust, now you know. It's time to let the cat out of the bag. This is not a joke, it's not a game. And we've been seeing the last 5 times a big chunk of this murderous behavior has come from this guy, Klaus Schwab. And he's now got his plants all over the world, including our own government, including Biden. And they are building what I'm convinced, based on the evidence and the biblical evidence, what the Bible warned about will come on the planet in the last days. It's called the Antichrist kingdom. That's what they're doing. And we saw, it's not a surprise when you do the research, and we have, and Klaus Schwab grew up in Hitler's world, and his dad was buddies with Hitler and the Nazis. Okay, this is the world that he grew up in. And I'm convinced this is where he's getting a lot of his ideas from, including the current Holocaust that's going on right now today. Okay, but don't worry, he's relabeled it. It should be called the Fourth Reich, because he's basically taking what Hitler did in Germany, and now he's putting it upon the whole world. But he doesn't call it Fourth Reich. It's too obvious. It's called the Fourth Industrial Revolution or the Great Reset. And what was the trigger to put all this into play that he's been working on for decades? The COVID pandemic was the excuse to reset the planet into this new Hitlerian nightmare that we're experiencing. It's happening right now. Now, for proof of that, we've already seen Klaus Schwab and the current Holocaust. That's what's going on. That's why that lady rightly so is upset. It's still going on today. The murderous motives, they consider us useless people. That came straight out of Hitler's Germany. The global food control, which is also what Hitler did to manipulate people. Global food murders,
The water and food supply was used by Hitler to either kill people and or make them dumb and docile. That's being done today. And then last time we saw the genetic food murders, okay, that they would mess with our food supply genetically. And believe it or not, Hitler was all about genetics. We're going to see that in the next, Lord willing, three studies, okay? And it ain't just the food supply. It's everything, including humans, okay? It's sick, okay? But what we saw there is that's a sign that Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back, because you're seeing altering of all of life, including humans, okay, take place across the globe, not just in Germany. And that's what Jesus said, as it was in the days of who? Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah, we saw last time there was a hybridization going on. The Bible called it Nephilim, but they weren't humans anymore. There was an intermingling, a hybridization of humanity going on. And that's one of the major reasons why God judged the planet the first time. And we're seeing these guys begin to do it today. It's a sign that Jesus Christ is coming back. We saw that with the new genetically modified, the vaccine food. If they couldn't get you the shot lining up for that, then they're going to get you that shot with the food supply. We saw that. The second one was the genetically modified fake food. And that's all the plant-based meat, veggie burgers, Beyond Meat, Impossible Meat. Those things are not good for you. That's the lie. They actually cause massive amounts of cancer. And this one still bugs me to this day. They're pushing the insect food, which they say, oh, that's just great. It's another source of protein. No, it's not. That, too, is very, very dangerous for our health, including sick, satanic, and evil. As we saw, these guys are now trying to get us to think it's okay to eat human food. I'm talking straight up cannibalism. It's not a joke. This is also what they're pushing. Okay, and then we saw, hey, wait a second. People eating human, that sounds like that 1973 movie, Soylent Green. As we saw, that was made in 73, and it depicted a world that resorted to eating human meat, and the year that they predicted that would happen was 2022. It's almost like it's all been planned out. We're just going along for their sick ride. That's exactly what's going on. But that's not the only thing that they're doing genetically. Again, the next three studies, we're also going to deal with this genetic, dare I say, hybridization of not just humanity, but all of life. And it's a sign that we're living the last days. And so this one, we're going to take a look at Klaus Schwab and the genetic altering technology. It's not coming. It's already here. They're not just thinking about using this genetic technology. They're already doing it to us and all of life. Okay? It's crazy what these guys are doing. And this is what's crazy, because again, what are you talking about when you're genetically altering something, including humans? That's the big elephant in the room, right? How much can you genetically modify something and you're technically no longer human? Nobody knows, except for maybe these people and certainly God. But that's the danger of this. But what is this? It's a repeat of the days of Noah. Yeah. And here's what's crazy. If you read the Bible, which I highly recommend, okay, for some strange reason, you're going to see that only 900 years after the flood, again, why did God judge the planet the first time? Because of the Nephilim issue, the hybridization. And it was so severe that only 8 people survived. God hit a restart button on humanity. And we had to start all over because of that pollution. But only 900 years again, God was saying, don't do it. I'm telling you, don't do it. You would think that a worldwide flood would get people's attention. Hey, we probably shouldn't be mixing and matching and modifying things. But if you read the word, you're going to see that 900 years of flood, God warns it again. Don't you dare do it. Unfortunately, we're doing it today as well. But let's take a look at that text. Leviticus 19 is our opening text. Leviticus 19, a bunch of do's and don'ts from God. And tucked right in here is a warning. Don't you dare. Don't do this again. I judged the planet one time before. You think I'm not going to do it again if you do it again? Okay, so let's take a look. Leviticus 19, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus is the scripture there. 19, and again, it's just a bunch of various laws, but notice what's tucked right in here. And dare I say, how many times have we read through this and we just blow right through it and we don't pay attention to what we read? Okay, but let's take a look. Leviticus 19, 11 through 19. Here's what the Word of God says. Do not steal. How many guys would say that's a good thing? You guys did way better than the first service, I'm telling you. I literally was like, I got to put my wallet in my... Hide it from me. Put some tape over the offering. You guys just scare me. But anyway, that's right. Do not steal. Of course, that's a good thing from God. He also says, do not lie and do not deceive one another. And do not swear falsely by my name, God says, and so profane the name of of your God. I am the Lord, he says. Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind. But fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Don't go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. In fact, do not hate your brother in your heart, as if God can't see it. Rebuke your neighbor so that you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Keep my decrees, including this. What? Do not mate different kinds of animals. Do not plant your field with two kinds of seeds. And do not wear clothing woven with two kinds of material. You may be seeing it kind of weird, tucked into Leviticus. A bunch of good do's and don'ts, and he just pops in three right there that basically says, whatever you do, don't start mixing things again. Right. Why? Because he judged the planet once. You don't think he's going to do it again if you do it again? He's consistent, same yesterday, same forever. 900 years after flood, you think it would get their attention. Hey, if there's one thing we're never going to do again, it's going to modify things. This is in high gear, folks, with these guys, and I'm telling you, it is a sign that Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. Right? As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. These guys are modifying the things in the planet. And again, don't take my word for it. We're going to look again at Klaus Schwab. I've been warning this from the rooftops for the last 2 years, everywhere and every chance I can get around the world. I'm saying, listen, we're starting to catch on with what Klaus Schwab means by the Great Reset. He's deliberately destroying specifically the American economy because we are the basis of the global economy, the dollar. So if you're going to reset it into a new one, you got to destroy the dollar. That's why we're under attack. That's why Biden was put in to be the Biden, B-I-D-E-N, bumbling imbecile destroying the entire nation. He's doing it on purpose. We're catching on to that, that they're crashing our system because we're the backbone of the global system so they could reset with the new system, which is cashless and it's leading to a market-based society. We got that. But what I've been warning is, listen, that's only half the story. That's only half the concern. The Great Reset isn't just an economic reset. Listen, it's a human reset. These guys are eugenics, and they believe it's the elite. It is their duty to remake us into a better image, just like Hitler wanted to do, for the betterment of society. Here's Klaus again. He not only says on tape, wherever he goes, you'll own nothing and be happy. No, you'll own everything. We won't be happy. You'll eat less meat. We've already got, he says this as well. Listen, the Great Reset won't just change what you do, like your job, economically. It'll change who you are. Watch this. He says it everywhere.
The difference of this forced industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you. If you take a genetic editing,
right.
Just as an example, it's you who are changed. Yeah, and of course, this has a big impact on your identity.
Yeah.
One of the features of this fourth industrial revolution is that it doesn't change what we are doing, but it changes us.
With Hollywood on the left, that was Klaus's wife in the middle. And who is that on the right? Front row, just Googling, going, yeah. They're all in on it, folks. And this is their agenda. It isn't just changing the economy and what you do. They want to genetically modify, including humans. It will change who you are. It'll change your identity. Dare I say, will you be human anymore when these guys are done? This is not a joke. It's not a conspiracy. The evil loves to brag. They tell you what's coming. And that's part of the package. And again, I'm convinced this is what Jesus said is going to return to the planet in the last days. A hybridization of humanity. That's what they're pushing. It's crazy, okay? And you're like, well, where did you get this idea from?
Maybe Hitler?
Exactly. I'm telling you, in a nutshell, this whole study is demonstrating solidly that all Klaus is doing, in a nutshell, if you're trying, what's his big agenda? His agenda is this. He's taking, because he grew up in that world, Hitler's agenda that only made it as far as Germany, and now he's doing it to the whole planet. This is where he gets his idea from. Hitler was huge about eugenics and creating a new and improved human race. That's what these guys believe. They did horrible, against people's wills, experiments on people, including humans, including children. In fact, two of his biggest doctors that did this, if you even want to call them doctors, who modified people, was this guy, Joseph Mengele, also known as Dr. Angel of Death, okay? But also this guy, Herbert Heim. He was known as Dr. Death. But let's take a look at some of the horrible things they did to people. Watch this.
They called him Dr. Death. Ari Bertheim, one of the most wanted Nazi war criminals, was thought by the world's top Nazi hunters to be hiding in South America. And now, in a new report by German TV channel ZDF, it has been revealed that the fugitive spent decades in Cairo and has been dead since 1992. Haim was branded Dr. Death by survivors and victims of gruesome and often fatal medical experiments he conducted on inmates of three concentration camps. Haim is accused of murdering hundreds of victims in his role as an SS medical examiner, including horrific experiments in which the Austrian doctor injected toxins directly into victims' hearts and removed their organs without anesthesia. Haim was first captured at the end of World War II by U.S. forces, but released in 1947.
But Mengele didn't just let new arrivals live so they could work in the labor camps. He wanted them for medical research. His SS file reveals him as a specialist in genetics and eugenics. Mengele shared Hitler's obsession with racial purity. His dream was to copy the blonde, blue-eyed model of Aryan perfection, exemplified by members of the Hitler Youth, and then develop the means to genetically manufacture it on a massive scale. At Auschwitz, Mengele was particularly fascinated by identical twins. Sharing the same genetic blueprint, twins allowed him a unique opportunity to experiment on one and compare the results with the other. Now Mengele was presented with as many twins as he wanted.
These are all identical twins used for medical experiment. Hundreds of twins from all over Europe were brought to this camp. They were numbered, but their origin and even their names are unknown.
One of them was Eva Moses, seen here a day after liberation. Eva remembers meeting Mengele after receiving several toxic injections into her arm.
Then Mengele declared, laughing sarcastically, he said, "Too bad. She's so young, she has only 2 weeks to live." I refused to accept his verdict. I refused to die.
In all, Mengele murdered 3,000 twins. Some after chemicals were injected directly into their eyeballs. His aim? To turn the color of eyes from inferior brown to Aryan blue.
Sick is right, but hey, good thing that went away after World War II. A lot of these guys were brought to America. Check it out. In fact, that was just two of his doctors. This blew me away. I didn't know until I did the research this week. There's a whole list of these evil doctors. We just saw two of them. Go check it out. It's secular knowledge. In fact, it'd be a list of, quote, Nazi doctors, type it in, and I can't even get the whole list on one page. It just scrolls. You just saw two of them. What else was going on? Oh, and I found this very interesting, too. I don't know if you can see it, but if you zoom in, they actually even break down those preferred evil doctors, their preferred method of doing experiments on people, even genetic experiments, against their will. And the bulk of them was this word, injections. Sound familiar? It's a method that's being used today. Now, what the other bombshell is this. Most people don't realize that this is a modern-day Nazi doctor, I'm convinced. And you're going to see the proof of that here in a second. It's the same thing, folks, with injections, experimenting on people, altering them against their will. Now, a lot of people think, well, come on, America would never go along with this. I mean, we got... Here's a bombshell. The eugenics movement, what's that word mean? Eugenics, ou, meaning good in the Greek, gene, genetics, good people, good race. That's what the word means. The whole idea is you're going to make a better race, a good race, like the Aryan super race that Hitler wanted to do. The eugenics movement started in Britain, came here to America, and then went to Hitler. Watch this.
The new pseudoscience born in Britain called eugenics, which falsely claimed with no evidence that everything from poverty to prostitution, disabilities to what they called feeble-mindedness, could be eliminated if the individuals they dismissed as socially defective could be stopped from reproducing.
I wish very much that the wrong people could be prevented entirely from breeding. And when the evil nature of these people is sufficiently flagrant, this should be done. Criminals should be sterilized, and feeble-minded persons forbidden to leave offspring behind them. Theodore Roosevelt.
The idea was that the bad people have to stop reproducing, and the good people need to reproduce more. Negative eugenics says sterilize the wrong people, snuff them out. And that's the eugenics that the Nazis would pick up on.
Colleges and universities taught eugenics. Medical societies confirmed it. Clergymen preached it. John D. Rockefeller and Andrew Carnegie funded it. And some of the most prominent people in America championed it. Margaret Sanger, Alexander Graham Bell, even Helen Keller.
It seems to me that the simplest, wisest thing to do would be to submit cases like that of the malformed idiot baby to a jury of expert physicians. If the evidence were presented openly and the decisions made public before the death of the child, there would be little danger of mistakes or abuses. We must decide between a fine humanity and a cowardly sentimentalism.
33 of the 48 states would eventually enact eugenics laws mandating the forced sterilization of wards of the state deemed physically or mentally unfit. People in prisons, hospitals, and asylums. More than 60,000 Americans would be sterilized without their consent before the last of these statutes was removed from the books in 2014.
In July 1933, in Germany, Adolf Hitler came to power and immediately enshrined eugenics in state policy with a law that mandated the sterilization of men and women suffering from any one of nine presumably heritable conditions. Then came the liberation of Buchenwald and Dachau, and the chilling evidence of eugenic policies carried to a monstrous extreme.
By the mid-1940s, the full horror of what happens in Nazi Germany becomes apparent. The movement from sterilization to extermination, the killing of several millions based on this kind of idea of the betterment of human race, and it creates a vast embarrassment for the American eugenics movement.
Good thing that'll never happen again. It's happening on both arenas. It started in Britain. It came to America. The last law didn't get off the books till 2014 of forced sterilization. Then it goes to Hitler. I'm not giving him a free pass. He just took it to the ultimate conclusion. But this idea of forced sterilization against people's will, I mean, that would never happen again today. That's the other side effect of the shots. People are being sterilized, male and female, against their will. They weren't told that. They lied. And then if you saw that, he said sterilization moved quickly to the next phase, extermination on a massive scale. As we saw in our first study, the conservative estimates, the amount of people that are going to die from this shot is 700 million. That's 116 times more than the last Holocaust. The eugenics movement never went away. And Klaus has basically taken this, what he's been working on, for over 50 years. People with this mindset He's been planting them all over the world, and now you see our so-called leaders and Hollywood countrymen on the front row going, that's a great idea. It's not a game. It's not a joke, and it's not a conspiracy theory. It's not just an economic reset, this great reset. It's a human reset. It's eugenics on steroids. This is what's going on. Now you think, man, what, the American government doing experiments on people without their knowledge? I'm just going to give you a couple examples just to open your mind. Unfortunately, wouldn't be the first time. Let's take a look at that evidence.
...829 pregnant women served radioactive iron as part of their regular treatment. What did they think they were getting?
This was a study done immediately after World War II, and these young women came to the clinic thinking that they were getting vitamins to drink, that this would help their babies. And in fact, what was being studied was how fast the radioiodine crossed into the placenta.
And where was this?
This was at Vanderbilt University in Nashville.
And who was in charge?
There were a group of scientists from Vanderbilt University.
And what happened to these women?
They had all kinds of ailments, skin diseases, cancer, blood disorders. Some of their offspring, their children that they were carrying at the time of this experiment, died of cancer. And very strange cancers at very young ages.
Were there any whistleblowers among the doctors or nurses, and did nurses know?
There was no whistleblowers whatsoever. The doctors closed ranks and considered this worthwhile science.
Green light was given for the first biological attack on U.S. soil, carried out by the U.S. government itself. On September 20th, 1950, a U.S. Navy vessel steamed across the mouth of the San Francisco Bay. In her hold were millions of gallons of water infested with two strains of bacteria, which was pumped out and vaporized through special nozzles. San Francisco was chosen because of its favorable wind conditions and geography. Wind coming in from the ocean would carry the bacteria across the entire city, exactly the type of thing an enemy would seek to do in a real attack. For 30 minutes, the Navy ship sprayed thousands of gallons of infected water into the morning fog, creating 2-mile-long clouds. Carefully monitoring the time of release, temperature, wind speed, and humidity, U.S. agents then collected samples all across the city just to see how far the bacteria were spread by the wind itself. For one whole week, September 20th through September 27th, the U.S. government sprayed bacteria into San Francisco. Thus, government testing of biological agents would continue for 25 years, all conducted in the dark.
The test in the subways was in 1966, and it was part of an experimental program that lasted 20 years, beginning in 1949, ending only in 1969. Large numbers of people, of humans, citizens of this country, were exposed. In my research and in the work that was published in the book, it was very clear that some of the materials were not totally harmless, that when you expose 1 million or 2 or 3 million people to relatively harmless materials, you still have a certain segment of the population that would be at risk. The number of bacterial agents that were released ranged in the trillions. This was during a 6-day period in September of 1966. As the train entered, you would see a whoosh of darkened air. The darkness came from charcoal that was mixed with the bacteria because the bacteria themselves were invisible. The ultimate report said that if a pathogenic organism were released, that more than half of the people who were riding the subways could have become deathly ill.
Do we have reason to be concerned that these kind of tests will now continue today?
Oh, I think that there's no reason to think we won't continue. I mean, certainly we have evidence by news report that they were instituted in Grand Central Terminal. My guess is that that would not be the only location.
Nor the only time. And this is what went on with the COVID pandemic, that people are saying, rightly so, was a bioweapon. And I quote, it's now coming out that the Department of Defense was in on it with Fauci and the NIH. Which, if you know history, unfortunately, even in our own country, is very sad that our own government would do this to us as Americans, but experiment on us with bioweapons against our will. But this is what's going on. And then the reality is this, folks, with those COVID shots, we became the biggest human experiment to date. And not just here in America, but around the world. And that's why many people are comparing, rightly so, Fauci to Mengele. Because that's all it is. Except this time, you went beyond Germany, and now you're doing it to the whole globe. And this is why not just Christians, even non-Christians, are catching on to this crime against humanity. And they're calling for, we need a Nuremberg 2.0. And Nuremberg, of course, was the trials post-World War II, where they took these guys who did this horrific treatment of humans and children to court, and a lot of them were hung for it. And dare I say, we need another one today. But they're trying desperately to keep us distracted from what's going on. But here's the whole thing. What you're seeing is basically Hitler's eugenics on steroids today. And the point for you and I is it's as it was in the days of Noah. It isn't just eugenics. It's what? Altering humanity, altering life into something that's not God's original design. What's that? A hybridization that happened the first time God judged it. And I'm telling you, he's getting ready to do it again because we're doing it again. That's what I want to share with you. Two ways. It's not coming. It's already here. They're not thinking about it. They're already doing it. And the first one is with a genetic altering technology that Klaus and the gang are using. Not coming. Already here. Already being done. It's called CRISPR. Right? CRISPR is not that food item that you get if you ever came to my house and had me barbecue. I learned this a long time ago. Don't do the barbecue. Don't ask me to barbecue. It's not that I can't cook. It's just invariably people come and ask me a question. Pastor Billy, what was the origin of the universe? And I'm off on that. Next thing you know, and so if you like burnt offerings or extra crispy food, I'm your guy. Right? Wifey does the barbecue now. But I digress. CRISPR, it's not talking about crispy food like I cook. Okay, CRISPR, okay, is an acronym for a technology that stands for Clustered Regularly Interspaced Short Palindromic Repeats. Okay, basically, it's a fancy way of saying that they now have technology to listen to individually slice and dice human DNA, plant DNA, animal DNA, anything that's got DNA, all of life. And they could slice and dice it, take it out, put it in, put something else, mix something foreign into it. It's not coming. It's already here. In fact, it's been here since 2012. Here's the co-inventor, Jennifer Doudna, talking about this CRISPR technology and what it can do.
Now to this story, revolutionary technology that can edit genetic mistakes is getting attention and scrutiny this morning. CRISPR could help rid us of diseases like cystic fibrosis, muscular dystrophy, and even HIV and cancer. Think about that.
And what is CRISPR?
CRISPR, first of all, it's an acronym. It stands for Clustered Regularly Interspaced Short Palindromic Repeats, a huge mouthful. You can see why we use the acronym CRISPR.
So I'm sorry, what's CRISPR again?
Geneticist Jennifer Doudna gets asked that question a lot. A researcher and professor at UC Berkeley, Doudna has become a spokesperson for a gene editing technology she's credited with developing, that mouthful known as CRISPR.
I've heard it compared to essentially like a film editor, slicing. Yeah. A bit of film.
I would say that's a great analogy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does that work then?
Well, think about a film strip, you know, and you see a particular segment of the film that you want to replace. And if you had a film splicer, you would go in and literally cut it out and piece it back together, maybe with a new clip. Imagine being able to do that in the genetic code, the code of life. You could go in and snip out a piece and replace it with something that corrects a mutation that would cause disease.
That's incredible.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible. I wonder what the people of Noah's days called their technology. It's not coming. It's already here. It's been here for a while, and they're already using it on everything. But you can now, we have the technology, talk about the days of evil. The technology to individually slice and dice any DNA, including human DNA. And it isn't just taking a piece out, popping it back together. It's taking a piece out and putting something foreign, including another organism, inside of a human, like an animal. We'll get to that Lord willing maybe next week. What? What is this? This is the days of Noah. See, the problem is what they don't tell you, and she later admits, that to give you an analogy, they really aren't really sure of the long-term effects of any of this stuff. And again, we're the test case, right? And they admit that it's kind of like, to give you an analogy, it's like monkeys trying to fly the space shuttle. Probably ain't going to go well. But they're doing it anyway. And because what happens is when you take out a strand of DNA, you can put something else back in, But these are irreversible changes. You can't put it back together again like it was originally. So you have forever altered what's called the human germline. And so if that entity, that human in this case, survives, if they survive, any progeny they have after them is different from the original design. And again, this is the elephant in the room. How much of this altering can you do to even people, and they're not even people anymore? Nobody knows. But this is what they're doing. It's not coming. Okay. Oh, and by the way, to me, this is like, again, I wonder what they called it in Noah's day with the Nephilim, their technology. Maybe they had their own acronym. I don't know. But these guys aren't going to call it that. Hey, come on in. Line up. Let's do some Nephilim on you. That's too obvious. So we'll just call it CRISPR technology. And it does the same thing to where you can make all kinds of concoctions. But see, they don't call it Nephilim technology. Here's the new term. They're getting us to buy into this. Designer technology, including designer babies, right? And I quote, designer babies could be just 2 years away, experts claim. And I don't know if you can see it or not, but that was written in 2019, which means it's already been 2 years and it's already being done. Now go back to what Mengele tried to do with the injections. Take the brown eyes and turn them into blue that he thought would be a better option for a better race. Designer babies with CRISPR technology, quote, want a child with, direct quote, want a child with blue eyes and blonde hair? Why not design a highly intelligent group of people who could be tomorrow's leaders and scientists? Now with CRISPR, it's possible. It would be the biggest thing that ever happened in our field. Everyone would want the perfect child. It will be, quote, the next step for humans. Not coming, already here, not being thought about, already being used. Already being pitched to you and I, this is the next step for humans. We can customize ourselves, including children, just like Hitler did. He didn't have the technology, but we do. The days of Noah, a repeat. It's all coming to pass. In fact, speaking of this is so obvious, Hitler eugenics on steroids. Jennifer Doudna, the co-inventor there, she admitted right after she came up with this technology, she had a dream about Hitler. Watch this. This is crazy.
You know, there was real risk, and that we really needed, we meaning the scientific community and really, frankly, the human community, needed to be aware of this and discussing it. And one of the things that sort of brought that to the forefront of my mind was a dream that I had fairly early on. In which I was, I walked into a room and a colleague of mine said to me, Jennifer, I'd like you to explain the CRISPR technology to a friend. And he brought me into a room and there a person was sitting with their back to me. And as they turned around, I realized with sort of a horror that it was Hitler. And it was actually Hitler with a sort of a pig nose, and it almost looked like a chimeric pig-human sort of creature. And it was, you know, it sounds funny in a way to relate that image, but in the dream it was a terrifying thing. And I really felt real, just, you know, stone-cold fear in the dream, and sort of woke up from that dream with a start and realized, you know, kind of had this initial feeling of what have I done, you know, and...
Yeah, I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but maybe that was a dream from God trying to stop you from doing what you're doing. Why? Because he judged it once before, folks. He's going to do it again. Unfortunately, he told us it's going to happen. Mankind's going to rebel again. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming Son of Man. We're seeing a repeat of the hybridization of humanity, and they ain't stopping. And believe it or not, that's just the first technology. You may not have heard of CRISPR, but I bet you heard of this one, and it does the same thing. It alters people's genomes. It's called mRNA technology. What? Wait a second. mRNA, for those of you who don't know, stands for messenger RNA. Okay? And for those of you who aren't familiar with that technology, again, you should be, because that's what was put inside the COVID shots. And you go, well, what does that do? What's mRNA technology do? Well, let's let Elon Musk simplify it for us. He dumbs it down for us so that we can understand what they're doing with that stuff. mRNA technology is basically man's code inserted into your code, your DNA, and they could change into who knows what. I didn't say it. He did. Watch this.
I think there's going to be a lot of breakthroughs on the medical front, particularly around synthetic mRNA. You can basically do anything with synthetic RNA, DNA. It's like a computer program. So, I mean, I think with enough, with effort, that's not too crazy. You could probably stop aging, reverse it if you want. You can basically do anything. You can turn someone into a freaking butterfly if you want with the right DNA sequence.
Wait a second. mRNA, synthetic mRNA, basically man-made mRNA is a man-made computer code that somehow you inject into a person's genetic DNA code, and it will then send new messages, messenger RNA, and to start to alter a person's DNA. That's what he said, right? And you could maybe reverse aging or turn them into a what? A blank butterfly. Last time I checked, a blank butterfly is not a human. Wait a second. You smell an ass, smelling a rat, right? What's that, folks? That was the stuff that they put in these shots. These shots that is now the cat's out of the bag did not stop COVID. Did not cure COVID. Why in the world were they so bent around the world to get people to get that shot that had mRNA technology in it that actually modifies people? Because they want to modify people, is the point. As sick as this is, that's really what's going on. And now it's coming out. Sure enough, it actually changes a person's genome. Let's take a look at that.
Well, a lot of people still mostly refer to the Pfizer and Moderna jabs as vaccines most of the time. Karen Kingston says that it's time to leave the word behind. These shots are gene editing technology. We've been saying that for a long time. They're bioweapons. They don't use the same mechanism that real vaccines use. Karen Kingston says that it's time to call these shots bioweapons, part of a global experiment on the entire human population. And she says that she has the documents to prove it. Karen Kingston joins us now. Thanks a lot for being here.
Thanks for having me, Stu. And I really appreciate you giving me the platform to share this information on. It's imperative that we drop the word vaccine from our vernacular in regards to this COVID-19 takedown of the globe.
I agree.
Because they're not. You can call them a bioweapon. You can call them a weaponized bat virus injection, but do not call them a vaccine. And they don't meet the definition. So I want people to feel confident when they won't go along with this discussion. So I've shown these documents before. You can take a look, whether it's the Pfizer approval or the Moderna approval. It says right there, it contains the full sequence of the SARS-CoV-2 virus to produce a spike protein. The spike protein causes the disease. It is a bioweapon. By definition, by the FDA, from the August 2015 document that is entitled Design and Analysis of Shedding Studies for Virus-Based Gene Therapies, it says right there, gene therapy products are all products that mediate their effect by transcription or translation or transfer genetic material by integrating into the host genome and are administered as viruses, which this is. The product may be used to modify cells in vivo, so in the body through an injection. And people are like, well, this doesn't modify the genome. We were told it doesn't do that. Epic Times just yesterday published a study where they showed that human liver cells that were exposed to BNT162b, which is the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine, there was, as they said, reverse transcription where the DNA was made from the RNA. And they have evidence that it was making mRNA inside of the nucleus. So this was just released. So these are genetic modifying injections.
Cat's out of the bag. Wasn't ever going to cure COVID. Wasn't even going to stop COVID. That was the excuse to get people to line up, to get this technology inside of them, to begin to genetically modify them. People are starting to catch on. Unfortunately, it took a little while, but praise God, they're catching on. And not just the Christian community, but the non-Christian community. And this is why people are calling for this. We need right now to take these guys to court. This is a crime against humanity. This is Hitler on steroids. They're doing it across the whole globe this time, not just Germany. And we need to hold them accountable. Nuremberg 2.0. That's all that this is. Now, believe it or not, they know exactly what they're doing. I'm going to share with you a clip from Yuval Noah Harari. He's basically the science advisor for Klaus Schwab and the gang. And he admits, almost gleefully, openly, that Hitler wished he could do this, but he just didn't have the technology. But they got it now. Watch this on tape.
Many tyrants and governments wanted to do it, but nobody understood biology well enough. And nobody had enough computing power and data to hack millions of people. Neither the Gestapo nor the KGB could do it. But soon, at least some corporations and governments will be able to systematically hack all the people. We humans should get used to the idea that we are no longer mysterious souls. We are now hackable.
It enables human elites to do something even more radical than just build digital dictatorships. By hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the future of life itself.
Into what? Nobody knows, except for them and, dare I say, God. And again, that's the elephant in the room. How much of this genetic altering technology can you be a part of before it goes over the scale? And you're technically not human anymore. I don't know. But I will say this. These guys are sick. They're evil. They're satanic. What is this, folks? This is Hitler on steroids. He didn't have the technology to do what he wanted to do, but they got it now. And Klaus Schwab has been planting his eugenics guys all over the planet, including our government, looking up at this guy like he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, who not only wants to reset the economies into a cashless mark of the beast system, where we've heard that before, but he wants to reset humanity into their elite's image. It's on tape. What is this? They want to tweak humanity. Where have I heard that before? Oh, that's why God judged the planet the first time. And Jesus said when you see a repeat of that, he's getting ready to come back. Of course he is. The Bible says that if God didn't shorten the time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. Think about that. Not saying thus saith the Lord. Maybe it's, of course, they'd be destroyed because of 7 years of God's wrath nonstop. Yeah, could very well be. Maybe that's all it is. Maybe in this context of what they want to do is there wouldn't be any humans left. The entire human race would be destroyed. Crazy. Now, as a close, listen to the rationale. You're going like, man, Pastor Billy, you're right. We need a Nuremberg 2.0. We need to take these guys to court. We need to arrest them right now. I don't care what office they hold, including in the White House. These guys are sick. They're satanic. They're Hitler on steroids. And we need to call them into court and hold them accountable. And you know what? I think it's a great idea. That's what we should do. But these guys are so sick and so evil. Listen to the rationale as the cat's coming out of the bag and people starting to catch on what they're really doing. As the greatest human experiment of all time. Listen to the rationales that why they say, oh, no. You can't take us to court. You can't sue us. At least a human court, that is. This is sick. Watch this.
So it's well known that the mRNA shots supposedly work, I guess, for a lack of better words, by modifying the RNA in your cells. But does this modification turn recipients into something that isn't even human anymore? Dr. Jane Ruby touched on this briefly yesterday on this program. It's also the belief of attorney Todd Callender. He's warning that anybody who gets the Pfizer or Moderna shots may become a new organism, which allows them to potentially be patented and enslaved by drug companies. We obviously want to hear more about the legal aspect of all of this. To that end, Todd Callender joins us now. Todd, thank you so much for coming. So this has been called fifth generation warfare. Kieran Kingston was talking about this, bringing receipts and patents yesterday on the program. Dr. Jane Ruby suggested no longer are you a Homo sapien, but now you're a Homo Borg. What do you know about the legal implications of all of this for those people who've received this inoculation?
Yeah, so this all arises from our case, Robert v. Austin. It's in the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals right now. In the trial court, we were trying to figure out the mandate to the military, how it was that all of these service members were being given the shots without informed consent. And I'd found out through the research that they were owed a lesser amount of informed consent rights if they were being genetically modified. It turns out that the military has been doing genetic modification on our soldiers since 2005, at least. That led me down the trail of how did this happen? And I started poking around and finding that this is actually what they call fifth generation warfare. And it's something that all the governments are working on, the UK, Germany, China, and this is the new state of war. So I looked for the law and I found this case called Molecular Pathology versus Myriad Genetics. It's a 2013 Supreme Court case. And the important part of it, the holding in the case, page 6, halfway down, it starts with "it is also." The court finds that the use of mRNA to effectuate a gene modification of an organism, in this case it wasn't humans, but it doesn't matter, to effectuate the gene modification of the organism results in the patent holders owning that new organism. So when you're genetically modifying something, you're creating a new species by virtue of doing that. The question I put in front of the court is, does that apply to humans? Because now we've got, admittedly, mRNA shots that are doing gene modification. As you indicated, they are making people create spike proteins. That's genetic modification. We have it in their own disclosures that they're doing gene deletion, 1p36 gene deletion. So very clearly, there is genetic modification happening in vitro right now. Does that, according to the law, result in the new species of people being owned by the patent holders? And if so, you know, what is this new species? All of this, by the way, would be illegal. That's what I'm saying, is that our anti-slavery amendment, that's the 13th Amendment to our Constitution, outlaws the ownership of humans.
So what would be the legal implications for somebody who's been injected and then owned by Big Pharma?
Yeah, the questions are numerous, because if you think about how our law talks about people, human rights, what is a human to enjoy those rights? It's defined as Homo sapien. If this is a new species by virtue of the modification, are they still Homo sapiens? And I have found some reference to a new human called Homo borgensis. And in fact, in the NASA Langley research paper, you will see that they refer to the new humans as Borg. So the question then becomes, if homicide is defined as the unlawful taking of a human life, and we've defined humans as being Homo sapiens, does the penal code protect Homo borgensis, people who are still people, but they're not humans for purposes of the law? Can they be protected? Could somebody be convicted for killing a Homo borgensis? There is no answers to this.
While everybody's distracted about that crazy balloon, train wrecks, derailments, all the other stuff that they keep distracting us with, probably one of the most important cases in the history of the world is being hashed out right now. These guys are sick. You can't sue us. You can't take us to court. There's never going to be a Nuremberg 2.0, because that's a crime against humanity. What if they're not human anymore? The law doesn't apply. Do you see their loophole they created? And then they think they own you, and we can do whatever we want. These guys are sick. But this is what's going on, folks, as we're all distracted. And maybe you're at this point, you're going like, whew, man, praise God I didn't get the shot. Which, by the way, if you did get the shot, I've said before, I'll encourage you again, in light of this, a lot of people got duped. Christians got duped. But I encourage you, I'm not a doctor, I don't play one on TV. But I encourage you, do what you can. There's medical doctors out there who are trying to reverse the effects of this. One, the damaging effects on your body. So please consider, I'm not a doctor, I don't play one on TV, please consider looking at their regimens of how to reverse the damage to your body. Because the spike protein machine does not stop. We were lied to. So please, I implore you, check it out. The second thing is, now they're saying, is there a way to get this out of my body? Not just reverse the effects, but get it on my body. And there's some doctors, I'm not a doctor, I don't play one on TV, that are saying that they're looking at ways to detoxify your body of this and get it out of you. Consider that. But even for us who didn't get the shot, we're not safe and clear either. These guys are sick. As we saw last week, they're putting it in the plants. the mRNA technology in the plants. They just announced they're going to start doing it to our meat. Yeah. I'm not joking. Watch this. This is sick.
The genetic editing of plants to contain edible vaccines is well underway. Work is being done with bananas, potatoes, tomatoes, lettuce, rice, wheat, soybeans, and corn. Companies like Medicago are using gene editing to turn plants into mini bioreactors.
Medicago's manufacturing facility looks like a nursery, but inside these plants, they're growing a new kind of vaccine. The technology is called a virus-like particle.
At Medicago, we use a careful step-by-step process to develop vaccines, using our plants as mini bioreactors. We start with the gene sequence or code of a virus. We then use our technology to synthesize the virus code into a real biological product. The code contains genetic instructions that our plants can read, and we insert it into bacteria called Agrobacterium tumefaciens. We submerge the plants in a bath with the bacteria that carries the information into the plant cells. And using a vacuum, we suck out the air between the plant cells and replace it with the liquid. The plants absorb it like a sponge. At the end of their bacterial bath, we return our plants to a carefully controlled greenhouse to let them get on with their natural growing business for at least 4 days. Now the plants will start producing the most important ingredient of our vaccines, virus-like particles.
Gene editing is now officially in our meat industry. Lobbyists for the cattlemen and pork associations in several states have confirmed that they will be using the mRNA COVID vaccines on their livestock. Attorney Tom Renz has been warning that there is no law requiring anyone to give informed consent for vaccine food. There are no laws requiring anyone to tell you the food you are buying has been vaxxed with the spike protein clot shot. The UK recently passed into law the Genetic Technology Precision Breeding Bill. The bill amends the Environmental Protection Act of 1990 to exclude references to precision bred organisms so far as they relate to marketing. Precision bred organism is another term for gene edited. So now in the UK, food that's been gene edited can be legally marketed as non-GMO. And if this UK gene-edited meat makes its way to America, it can be labeled non-GMO here as well. And so long as it's butchered in America, it can be labeled product of USA. Most of the meat in the grocery store is from overseas, and if we want to eat uncontaminated meat, we'll have to start buying direct from farms in America that still produce all natural organic protein and take back control of our democidal government.
In other words, our government that's trying to kill us and genetically modify us and destroy our nation because they work for Klaus. Disturbing, sick, satanic, I don't know what else you want to call it, but that's what's going on. So if we couldn't get you through the shot, we're going to get you through the food supply. Now, that's disturbing. But once again, God is so gracious to us. I just got to tell you this. This is no way this is by chance. When we started preaching out on the sick, evil people who are in charge of the educational system, the sewer pipe, I call it, the secular school system, and the pornography and the sickness and the immorality that they're putting in kids' brains, what did God do? He dropped in our lap the homeschool ministry. Think that was by chance? No way. And then for those that, what about college? Because you hear stories about, man, my kid went to secular college, and not even the first year, the first semester, they came back woke. And God allowed us to what? Start a seminary. You can go all the way to doctoral level. You don't have to go anywhere. And then, of course, with the COVID pandemic, and now it's coming out, the cat's out of the bag, these guys are trying to kill us. And what did God do? Hey, how about start a medical center with Dr. Mick and Nurse Heather, and here you go. You think it's my chance? Nobody except God knew what I was getting ready to preach on. And then Wednesday, I get a contact from somebody and said, hey, what do you think about starting a co-op for food? for Sunrise. And I said, get out of my notes. That's very rude. You installed a camera in my office. That's very invasive. How dare you? No, what's that? God has taken care of us again in the midst of this wickedness and evil. So Lord willing, if we're still alive and still here, I'll be here on Sunday. And then we're going to have more information for a clean meat co-op. We're looking at going to produce as well. I didn't plan on it, but God did. So what does that tell you, Christian? Who's in control? Psalm chapter 2, read it and go to sleep. Klaus Schwab and the New World Order guys, they think they're in control. They're throwing off their fetters. We're going to create our own humanity. And what's Psalm 2 says? God enthroned in heaven, he laughs. You really think you're going to overthrow me? Excuse me, and my son who's coming to put a stop to this. Nobody will ever defeat him. And so if God's laughing about it, I'm not condoning the wickedness evil. Take a chill pill, Christian. How many ways does he got to tell us that in the midst of this wicked behavior, if you're faithful, he blesses obedience, including telling the truth about what these guys are up to, letting the cat out of the bag, instead of going along with it like the people did of Hitler's day, who knew the camps were outside, and they kept their mouth shut. I think it's a sign of God blessing us for our obedience, to love people enough to tell them the truth, even when we know they're not going to like to hear it. Amen? And this is also why Jesus said what? When these things happen, what's going to happen? It's a sign that he's getting ready to come back. As it was in the days of Noah, that's what these guys are doing. So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. And then he followed that up with it. Run to the hills, hide. You know, freak out, be afraid. Oh, I'm sorry, wrong translation. When these things begin to take place, the days of Noah, it's happening. What do you do? Stand up. Lift up your head because your redemption is not near. He's coming back for us, folks. Time is running short. We need to finish strong, keep moving forward. He's allowing us the ability to do it. Just don't waste it. And if you're here today and you're not saved, I don't know what in the world are you waiting for. You think it's bad now? The Antichrist is basically Hitler on steroids, except he's going to do it to the whole planet. The good news is there's a way out, and his name is Jesus Christ. Take the way out today, please. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart But God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.